Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Anakazo, anakazo. Oh, yes. And our emphasis is breaking defeats, delays, and denials through compelling power. The word anakazo is a Greek word, which simply means to compel. All right? When you anakazo, it means you are compelling. It means to force. It means to drive. Hallelujah. Every car you see on the road is driven by someone. The car doesn't drive itself. I know that there are cars today that are invented that seemingly are driving themselves. But even those ones, there's a computer that is directing them on what to do. So to drive, to necessitate, or to constrain. The whole idea here is that you don't leave the thing to itself. You don't leave results to themselves. That the day results want to come, they will come. Do you understand? All right. So now, to anakazo someone means to force them to do something against their will. Do you understand? And to anakazo something means to force the thing to happen against all odds. Like, it didn't want to happen. But as you are using the wisdom of anakazo, it ends up happening. Meaning, if you had not used anakazo, it would not have happened. And there are many things like that in our lives, that unless you use anakazo on them, they won't happen. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And that's actually why we are talking about breaking defeats, delays, and denials. Because a whole bunch of us, when things are not happening, we feel, no, it's just it will happen, it will come, you know. And then we keep incurring unnecessary delays that could have otherwise been avoided if you knew about anakazo. Certain denials could have been avoided if you knew anakazo. I mean, when I was getting ready to come to South Africa, I applied for my visa, and I was denied a visa. And after I was denied a visa, I gave up. I called my brother who was bringing me here, and I said, okay, they've refused to give me the visa, so I think I must now look for something else. He said, no, you don't do it like that. And he said to me, why did they refuse to give you the visa? I said, I never asked. He said, but why didn't you ask? They were supposed to tell you why. Then it turns out that they needed a guarantee of a certain amount of money before they can release the visa. And guess what? When my brother made that money available and sent them the banking details, I was granted the visa. So you see, if we didn't force by asking further questions and bringing further information, sometimes something is denied simply because you haven't brought a few certificates, you haven't brought a few things there and there, and then you are already giving up. So you see, that's what this message is all about, to show you now, certain things are delayed because that's the timing of God. Certain things are denied because that's not the will of God for you. I mean, were you to receive that thing, it will bring more problem to you than the current ones you have. But there are other things that are simply the working of evil spirits. Paul says, I, Paul, more than once wanted to come to you, but Satan stopped me. So we know Satan, the word Satan means opposer, adversary, the person that resists you. They resist things from happening. Praise the Lord. And life in itself is designed such that if you do not apply anakazo, I hope you are hearing me. I really hope you are hearing me, because a lot of us are just there in this, hoping in the sweet by and by that things will come on their own, at their own time. You see, it's not just that the answer comes. It's also the timing of the answer. Imagine your job has finally opened up, but you are now 54. Even if you were to be employed, you'll only work for some time, just 4 years, and then you have to retire again. So it's not just about the answer, it's also the timing. That's why we talk about delays. talking about delays. May every delay in your life come under judgment right now in the name of Jesus. Well, last week we started learning about why we must use anakazo. Why we must use anakazo in our lives. Last week I showed you that you must anakazo because things don't just happen. Things don't just happen. And I want you to say it with me. Things don't just happen. Can't just wake up one morning and things have started happening. And I guess that's why you have noticed they haven't been happening. Because they don't just happen. If certain principles are not adhered to, if certain steps are not taken, things won't just happen. In every area of your life, things don't just happen. It's Bishop Oedepo who said, things don't work on their own. They only fall on their own. You understand? They don't work or stand on their own. Things don't stand on their own. They only fall on their own. So things seem to be naturally geared, and they have this, like they are geared at just going down by themselves. Like, look, if you don't want things to work, don't just do nothing. They will naturally just disintegrate themselves. You see, I'm standing right now. If I decide to release myself now, I'll collapse. I'm not standing here on, like, this body is not just standing. There are a lot of mechanisms that are working for me to stand here like this. My will is involved. My bones are involved. The energy in my body is involved. That's why I'm standing. Where those things to be removed, you will see how I'll collapse like a bag of rice in front of you. God forbid. Hallelujah. This morning, you must anakazo because things tend to not go as planned. You understand? You must anakazo because things tend to not go as planned. And if you've been on earth for a while, you will notice that the thing seems to go every way except the way you want them to go. Have you noticed about that? That they don't go the way you want. Like you want things to go this way. They tend to go the other way. And if an anakazo is not being used. Come with me to Luke, our foundational scripture. Luke 14 verse 16. The Bible says, Then he said to him, and please, I don't want you to get tired of this verse. Don't start saying, no, we are back again in the same verse. We are reading the same. Please, 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 please. We are here. And by the way, I haven't received your revelation on this verse. Have you even been reading this verse? Wake up in the morning, just roaming around, wasting your life. How many of you have taken time on this verse so that God can speak to you directly? This is the second month on the same verse. Some of you can't even remember where it is in the Bible. You see how unserious we are. So please don't disturb me as I'm trying to read a verse. You are saying, why are we going back to the same verse? Why are we reading the same verse? This is the verse God gave me to read. I'm going to read this verse. And nobody is going to stop me. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And if you remember last week, that's where we were. And sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excuse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excuse. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded. May God give us such people who do as it is commanded. Who don't come up with excuses why it cannot be done. Master, it is done as you commanded. Receive that type of grace in the name of Jesus. That when you are given a goal, you reach it as commanded. Oh, yes. And still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. May every house be filled in the name of Jesus. May every branch be filled with people in the name of Jesus. And when those people come, may they be filled with joy and the knowledge of God in the name of Jesus. May there be miracles and blessings and deliverances in our branches. May there be answers in every church in the name of Jesus. Now, we want to move to that second leg this morning. Things usually don't go as planned. And if you read this story, if you've read it with me, you will see that things didn't go as planned. For this, our Anakazo man. I mean, he planned a great supper. He prepared, he invited people. See, when you prepare a great supper and you invite people, you are expecting people to come. See, and he even sent reminders. He sent people to go, no, it's time. Come now. Everything is ready. But the Bible says in 17, verse 14 and 17, and they sent him out to come. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. After he has gone through the hard work of preparing himself, organizing everything. Now what must happen is that people must just come and we must start having fun. We must start enjoying ourselves. That, the picture in my mind is that I've prepared a place. I have the music ready. I have the food ready. Now I'm expecting people to come in and people must arrive, and I must be greeting people, taking selfies with the people, telling them how good it is to see them. You know, I must just remind them how good they look and all of those things. Like, that's my plan. My planning is that people must start coming in, but nobody is coming in. Rather, I'm receiving excuses why people are not coming. Do you think that is what an Akazu man planned that day, that he was going to organize this nice party and people will not come? Oh, things don't usually go as planned. That's why you must Anakazo. Are you listening to me? And what is true for our Anakazo man, which we learned last week, he's a very organized man, a very driven, he's not a lazy man. I mean, he's very on point. Still, things didn't go as planned. How much more when you are disorganized, lazy, sluggish, giving excuses, procrastinative? How much more when you are that type? Will things ever go as planned? Things didn't go as planned for Jacob. In the book of Genesis 29, verse 20 to 27, the Bible says, so Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. To get who? Rachel. That's what he's working for. He's working to get Rachel. But they seem like only a few days to him because of his love for her. You know, when you want to get something, usually you don't mind. You don't mind what they're asking you to do. You just want to get what you want to get. And your mind is, when I work this, I'll get this. And when I get this, I'll do this. You see, that's the plan. So when the plan is still on, you are also on. Are you here? Oh, yes. Then Jacob said to Laban, that's his father-in-law, give me my wife. My time is completed. Do you understand? I've reached the end now. Things must work now. Give me my wife. My time is completed. I want to make love to her. Aibo. You see, he's even giving the details of what that the plan is. You hear the plan of Jacob. Jacob has a plan for Rachel. You understand? He's working for 7 years. After 7 years, he didn't even wait for one day. One day, like 7 years plus one. No. After 7 years exactly, he remembers the day he started working, and the last day, he kept looking at that last day. Now the last day is here. He went to Laban straight. Give me my wife. My time is completed. I want to make love to her. How can you go to somebody's, to a father? You know, this is the father of Rachel. You are telling the father of Rachel, I want to make love to my wife, who is your daughter. You see that he had a plan. His plan was, this thing must work. You get it? So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. He waited for the evening because then they didn't have electricity. You understand? One of the blessings that we are enjoying today is electricity. LED and all of these things. They didn't have those things. So Laban didn't allow Leah to come during the day. He waited for the evening when it was dark, when you can't see well. Then he brought Leah inside the tent. He brought Leah to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. Please, I'm reading the Bible. I'm not inventing this. They're in the Bible. Don't say pastor is vulgar. I'm reading what is here. Hey. It's a lot of love. A lot of love. Praise the Lord. Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, say with me, morning. See, evening he did something. But when morning came, there was Leah. I worked 7 years for who? Rachel. I went to ask for who? Rachel. Who did they bring to me? Leah. Things don't always go as you planned. I'm already preaching. Because some of you are holding Leahs in your hands right now. You are holding a Leah somewhere. Meanwhile, you are expecting a Rachel. It's a Leah something that is in your hands. Every day you are seeing Leah. The Bible says, when morning came, there was Leah. I can just picture Jacob waking up as he's still trying to recover from the night and the acrobatics and the aerobics that he was busy with the whole night. So he's now, and he couldn't see. He knew that because also the father told Leah, don't talk. Job the just do small things. She must be, if the man can hear your voice, he will know you are not that person. So just be quiet there. Whatever he's doing, just do like you are not interested. So she played in the deception just like her father was deceiving the man. Are you here? Morning, there is Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I have served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Why have you deceived me? Why? This is not what I wanted. This is not what I came for. This is not what I've been preparing for. This is not what I studied for. This is not what I prepared myself for. This is not what I was working for. Why? What is this? South Africa government, what are you doing to me? South Africa education, who told me that if I get this and get this, this will happen. Why? Why are you deceiving me? Things don't go as planned, brother. Why have you deceived me? Laban replied, it is not in our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. So it is now you are realizing that. I mean, why couldn't he say it 7 years ago? You made me work for 7 years. Every day you look at this boy is an idiot. Oh, I will deceive him proper. 7 years I'm working for somebody. It is the last day you are telling me that it is not in our custom. Finish this daughter's bridal week. In other words, go continue with Leah the whole week. Then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work. So by the time you are done, you have worked how many years? 14. Yes. That is already beyond what you expected. in your mind, I'm working 7 years to get richer. Now you are working for 14 years and you are now having two wives. And you didn't plan to have two wives. That was not in your plan. You were planning for one thing. Now you have two. And the time is longer. Things don't go always as planned. Genesis 31 verse 6 to 7. Now Jacob is trying to help his wife Rachel understand why they must leave his father. And he's saying to her, you know that I have worked for your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. 10 times he changed my salary. So when he says to me, I'm going to give you 5,000. When month end come, he give me 4,000. 10 times he changed my salary. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. Are you learning something here? Things don't always go as planned. Now, when you are the type that sticks to the plan, do you understand? You stick to, that is where all the depression, that is where all the confusion, that is where all the problems start coming, because you are unable to adapt to changing scenes and changing seasons. You are unable to say, okay, I wanted Rachel, but now it seems like Leah has come. Let me manage Leah as well. Because out of Leah, you got Reuben. Out of Leah, you got Simeon. Out of Leah, you got Judah. Out of Leah, you got so many sons. But if you were the type who said, no, me, I came here for Leah. Eh? If I can't have Leah, if I can't have Rachel, I'm out. The law of adaptability, when things have changed and the anacazo man can see that what I had planned to happen is not happening, people are not coming, he made a quick plan immediately to start fighting what is coming. He didn't sit and start complaining. He didn't start calling the people in the battle. Guys, but why did you do this to me? Why are you doing this to me? When you had your birthday, I came. And when your mother passed away, I came for the funeral. Now I'm having a party, you are not coming. What type of thing is this, guys? No, guys, no. He didn't waste time on those people 1 second. Things tend to not go as planned. Therefore, you must prepare strongly for any eventualities. I'm prophesying to somebody that is listening to me now that I know you are planning that tomorrow this will happen. After this will happen. And then it will be like this. And then it will be like this. But I just want to make you aware that sometimes things don't go as planned. And if you didn't prepare for some eventualities, you will be stuck. There will be defeat. There will be delays. And there will be denials. He said to the servant, go quickly. You see, he didn't even say, okay, so what do we do? He didn't have an emergency meeting to start deciding, okay, so what? No. He seemed to already know what to do. He said, go quickly. And he defined where to go. Which means he already knew where you will find the people. In case you don't find the people here, in case these people behave like this, I know where you go and you'll find the people. Preparation. He prepared. He had something in mind just in case this one doesn't happen. Do you have something in mind just in case this thing doesn't happen? Do you have another thing in mind? Or you have banked everything on this idea, and if this idea falls to the ground, you follow the idea too in the ground. Is there another place you can send the servant? Go quickly. Go quickly to the streets and to the lanes. Is there another place? And when he came back and there was still room, he could send even further. Most of us are not prepared for eventualities. So once your things don't go the way you plan them to go, oh, you are defeated. Oh, you just surrender there. You start roaming in circles because you didn't plan beyond this. Brothers, very few things will go as planned. I don't want to lie to you.
Very, very few things go as planned. When you see something going as planned, it's because the person is not telling you that the other thing that didn't go as planned. You are just seeing this one. But if it could give you an overview into the back, the behind the scene, you will see that actually what seems to go as planned didn't go as planned. It's just that because it prepared so well, everything looks perfect. Everything looks perfect. Why preparation? One, God believes in preparation. That's why you must prepare. God, who is all-knowing, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, God still prepares. God believes you must prepare. Things must be prepared. Malachi 3 verse 1, behold, I send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. He will prepare. God, I thought you are almighty. Do you need any preparation? God says he will send a messenger that will prepare the way before him. God believes in preparation. Psalm 23 verse 4, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows or runs over. God believes in preparations. God engages preparation when it comes to himself. And God engages preparation when it comes to his children. David says God prepares a table before him. John 14 verse 2, in my father's house, I mean, he mentioned, if it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. God believes in preparation. Question this morning is, do you believe in preparation? Are you prepared for eventualities? Are you prepared for just in case things don't go as planned? Do you have a plan in mind? Second reason why you must prepare. Preparation gives you an advantage over someone who has not prepared. Preparation will always give you an advantage over someone who has not prepared. When you do not prepare, others will be chosen over you. When you do not prepare, you will be surprised that when it's time to perform, when it's time to answer the question, when it's time to sing the song, when it's time to do whatever you have to do, the clap for the other will be more than the clap for the other. A prepared singer will always be better than an unprepared singer. Or am I lying? A prepared preacher will always be better, more prepared. I mean, a prepared singer will be preferred to an unprepared preacher. Luke 25 from verse 1 down to verse 13. Let's look at people who prepared and people who did not prepare. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. That's the aim. We are going to meet our husband. 10 of them, all virgins. So they all have everything alike. They are all virgins. And they all have the same goal. They want to go and see the husband. You have matric. This one has matric. This one has matric. This one also has matric. And we are all going to look for the job. You have a call on your life. She has a call on her life. He has a call on his life. And we are all trusting God to start a ministry. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Please, which group do you belong to? Think about it. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. Do you see what is going on now? They took the lamp but they did not take any extra oil to go with. Back then, lamps were using oil. Not today, you will say they did not take extra, what you call this thing? Paraffin. Today, you will say paraffin. But back then, lamps were powered with oil. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The wise one took oil. May you be wise. The Bible says the bridegroom was long time in coming. You see, eventualities, we thought the bridegroom was going to come at 9 p.m. So we went and we were waiting. So even the oil in the lamp can only last until 9. And I didn't take any extra order. Just in case that, you see, life is full of eventualities. There are things you didn't prepare for. You didn't think might happen. But if you have this understanding, you will start learning to prepare for eventualities. This is the cause of most problems. The bridegroom was long in coming, so now there's a delay with the bridegroom's arrival. Are you here? Then they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, imagine this man was supposed to come at 9 or at 8. He's coming at midnight. Nothing reveals the strength of your preparation better than delays. Delays. When things are taking long to happen, then we see how prepared you are. How prepared are you? When a crisis came, when coronavirus came, you could see countries that are strong in preparation and countries that have no clue what they are doing. You could see countries that went through coronavirus as if there was nothing going on. Because they've prepared for pandemics. They've prepared for a crisis. Some countries, if a fire starts in the forest, do you understand? That fire can clear the whole country. Because they don't have any tanks anywhere for water. They have no helicopter. From where? Helicopter to go around to pour. They will just say to you, please, flee. Flee for yourself. Run away for yourself. Drop everything. Run for your life. So God in his mercy doesn't allow some of those catastrophes to even come to our country, our continent. Because the poor preparation will just turn us into a heap of ashes. Mercy on us, I tell you. Are you still here? Now the Bible says at midnight, the cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Praise the Lord. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready. Remember, the Bible says the virgins who were ready. They were ready. Went in with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. Later. Say with me, later. 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 The others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, the Bible says, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. This was talking mostly about the return of our Lord. Jesus is going to come back at a time nobody knows. And some people have been waiting for Jesus and they got tired of waiting. They started falling asleep. And in the process, some even drew back from the faith. It is those that are ready that will go. But I also want to submit to you this morning that so it is with everything else regarding your life. You see, opportunities are always coming, but they usually come unexpectedly. And the people that benefit from the opportunity are those who were ready. Those who were ready. So 5 virgins were ready because they had extra oil. 5 were foolish because they just had enough oil. And when the time took, when the husband took longer, they were out. Have you ever watched a boxing game, a boxing match, where one boxer says, I'm going to knock him down in 3 rounds. 3 rounds is enough. I'm going to take him down. So he prepares for how many rounds? 3 rounds. Now, after 3 rounds, the guy is still standing. So immediately as he's going for the 4th round, he has no plan. He didn't plan for the 4th round. He didn't plan for the fifth round. Now things are going the way he didn't plan. And he ends up losing the fight. That is how life is. Are you prepared for these things that might happen in the way you didn't see? Third reason why you must prepare. You know, the more you prepare, the more efficient you can manage problems and overcome obstacles that definitely will arise. Efficient management of problems because you are well prepared. And I think a very good example is David. David goes to give food to his brothers. And as he's giving them food, a Philistine comes from nowhere, scares everybody. The Philistine had been doing that for 40 days. David didn't come to fight. David came to give food. But as he is giving food, he sees this guy. He said, no, we cannot allow this to happen. And this become the day David is known throughout Israel. Because preparation met opportunity. Hallelujah. When preparation meets opportunity, you have success. He told Saul, no, don't be afraid. I remember there was a day the lion came to fight to take the sheep. I killed it. Another day the bear came. I also killed it. What is that? Preparation. He didn't know he was preparing to fight Goliath one day. He didn't know he was going to be facing a giant one day. He was just preparing without knowing. Praying for 2 hours, not knowing why. Reading 3 verses, not knowing why. Meanwhile, God is preparing you for your Goliath that you're going to face one day. And the day you are facing your Goliath, you've been reading, you've been preparing, you've been exercising. And when the opportunity comes, you are ready. You are ready. You are ready. Nothing is more frustrating than being in the face of an opportunity and you don't have what it takes. It's worse than not even seeing the opportunity altogether. You shall not miss your opportunity in the name of Jesus. Preparation makes you think ahead in order to have solutions for problems before they arise. That's preparation. The Anakazu man thought about this, what could have happened. So he already knew, if these people do this, I will do this. You see, I pray that you will receive such a grace that you will not always prepare with one step logic. That one step logic, your thinking only goes up to here. After here, you are not thinking. Have you heard those people that say, no, I didn't think about that. Hey, I didn't think about that. Hey, I didn't think about that. Hey, I didn't know. I didn't see that one. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't see this one coming. Unprepared at all levels. When you are unprepared, your destiny is in the hands of others. Your destiny is in the hands of others, and you go around blaming people, being angry at people. They didn't give me this, they didn't give me this. Who must go around giving you things? Are you preparing for eventualities? Have you prepared about the possibility of your father passing away, your mother passing away, your husband passing away, your wife passing? You see, you're not thinking about those things again. Which means if any of those things was to ever happen, we will enter a crisis. A crisis from which we might never recover. Many churches do not prepare that their pastor might not be there tomorrow. Without preparation, you will spend your time reacting to problems rather than taking the initiative. This is a very profound statement. You will spend your time reacting or responding to problems. So you are always defending yourself. When a new problem comes, then you start fighting the problem. But when you are prepared, you anticipate the problem. You already see it long before it comes, and you have a solution for it. So you quickly clear it before it can even settle. You've already cleared it. Many people spend the rest of their life reacting to situations, reacting to problems, responding to problems. They can never engage anything on their own. Number 4, preparations helps you to prevent anxiety and worry. There are a lot of problems in the world. You just make your life a bit better when you are a bit prepared. You worry less when you are prepared. Do you understand? A student that prepared for the exam and a student that did not prepare for the exam, I'm sure you agree with me that the one who did not prepare will worry more than the one who prepared. Number five, preparations prevents failure in any endeavor. Failure in any endeavor is prevented through preparation. Ah! The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6, Jotham became mighty. Why? Because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. This is why Jotham became successful. He prepared his way before the Lord his God. Many of us don't prepare our way. That's why we don't become mighty in anything. We don't value preparation. Listen to this statement. There is nothing that cannot be achieved in God if you prepare for it adequately. There is nothing you cannot achieve if you prepare for it adequately or you prepare for it properly. So now we're going to look at seven ways to prepare. Hallelujah. Because we have just said now that there is nothing you cannot achieve if you have prepared adequately or accordingly. Preparation is what positions us to victory. Preparation. Preparation. Say with me, preparation.
Preparation.
Preparation. Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. I don't think any of us here is preparing to fail. Therefore, you must prepare. Prepare, prepare. Now, let's look at seven ways you can prepare yourself. Number one, prepare by studying. Prepare by studying. When we are preparing you to face the world, when we are preparing you to face the world of employment, the world of industry, we send you to school to study. It's not a waste of your time. It's a preparation to face the world, to prepare yourself to be ready and marketable. That is why you go to school. And that is, you see, that school, there's nothing that will, like anything you and I will do, will always require some form of a school. If you go into the ministry, there are Bible school. Any field that you choose, there are schools that are designed to prepare you for that job, for whatever you are planning to be and do. So the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, study. This speaks of reading. This speaks of buying books. Being a man of books, a woman of books. Show me a man who reads. I'll show you a man who is preparing to lead. Show me a woman who reads. I'm showing you a woman who is preparing to lead tomorrow. Every leader must be first a reader. You must read first before you can lead others. So those of you that are having a calling into leadership, how do you prepare? You don't prepare but keep going around saying, you know, I'm going to be a great leader. I'm going to be a... No. In fact, the greatest sign that you're going to be a great leader tomorrow is that you are reading today. And the greatest sign that you might not be such a good leader tomorrow is that you are not reading today. You are postponing reading books today. You know, books are nowhere near you. But you are just imagining yourself leading thousands of people. You are imagining yourself doing big things. But the sign that you will do those big things is that you are holding a book today. You are moving around with a book in your bag. There are books in your phone. You are reading those books. Look, anything that is causing you to not read, I really pray for you and even for myself, that whatever is standing on the way of reading, in your life, in your mind, whatever Satan is using to deceive you into thinking that you don't need to read, may God deliver you from that thing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And even after that prayer I've prayed, you must still go and read. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So reading, that's a way to prepare. By reading. By reading. By reading. You must read. If you are preparing to enter into the ministry, you have to read books about church growth. You have to read books about shepherding. You have to read books about biographies of other men of God that have done the work that you are planning to do. You cannot just sit there and hope that God is going to anoint you and use you mightily. No. You got to read. You got to study. It's very important. And the verse is telling us that God approves of those who study. Those who study. And you know, studying is not just reading. It's reading deeply. Reading to understand, like you actually go deeper into the thing. You are not just reading generally to read. Like you're reading to understand. You are reading to know. So you can explain to others. Study. 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 You want to, you are preparing for your metric. Your preparation is shown by your studies today. Number two, prepare by developing your skills. Develop your skills. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 29, do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. So you see, the development of your skill is another way to prepare yourself. If I take again a person that is trusting God for the ministry, you need to develop the skill of teaching, the skill of preaching, the skill of prophesying. Those are skills. You got to develop them, the skill of shepherding. Don't think you're just going to wake up one day and you'll be this big teacher of the word. No, you have to develop the skill. How do you develop the skill? Number one, watch those that are doing it. Listen to those that are doing it a lot. A lot of skill is transferred to you that way. You develop skill by watching skilled people. Yeah. That's how it is. Then number two, look, start small. Start somewhere. You trust in God. I'm talking about ministry because that's the field I'm in. Now you trust in God to become a great man of God tomorrow, a mega church pastor tomorrow, but you haven't started with a cell today. You are unable to keep five people, train them, develop them, visit them, pray for them. But you are, when you sleep, you see yourself pastoring 1,000 people church. I respect your dream. But every dream, you must wake up and start doing something. Otherwise, the dream will never happen. After you've dreamt, you must wake up. Have you realized that apart from the dead, that don't stop dreaming? But a living person cannot dream forever. After a few hours, you have to wake up from the dream and then start life. Otherwise, the dream will never happen. I hope you are still here. But develop your skill. What are we talking about here? Training. 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 Listen, I want to tell you something. Value training. Value training. When you hear that people are being trained somewhere, value it. Especially training that has to do with the area of your area of interest. Train yourself. Nothing is more frustrating than calling a mechanic to come and fix your car, and the mechanic doesn't have the tools. The mechanic doesn't know when you start the car, say, hey, he's asking you, why is it doing like that? Why is the car doing like that? He's asking you, why is the car doing like that? Nothing is more frustrating than being called. You say you are a preacher. They call you to a school to preach. You don't know what to say. You start telling the children you are going to hell. All of you are dying. You are going to hell. By the time you wake up tomorrow, you'll be burning in hell. These are students. They are just starting their life. You are telling them that I'm going to hell. They will not want to listen to you again. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't preach about hell, but understanding where you are will help you. So you see, when you follow others that are doing the same thing, you are learning. You are learning. And let me just mention something at this junction here. That you will do well to not criticize those that are ahead of you. Don't criticize them. Learn from them. Nothing blocks your training faster. Nothing destroys your preparation faster than criticism of those that have gone ahead of you. In fact, that one takes you out of the preparation completely. Am I saying those that have gone ahead of you have done everything right? No. But that's not why you are there. You are there to learn so you can do better. Don't focus on their mistakes. Focus on what they are getting right. Catch it and then move on. I think there's a saying that when they give you a fish, don't eat everything. Throw the bones. Catch what you need and throw the rest away. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So this is how you prepare yourself. Because sometimes some of you are in preparation, but instead of learning, you are rather criticizing, you are rather looking for fault in the person that is teaching you. And that is destroying the preparation process. So you are there, instead of learning, you are criticizing, and nothing is getting in your head. When you are not given an opportunity to do something, you are bankrupt. Shall never be bankrupt in the name of Jesus. Number three, prepare by listening. Prepare by listening. Number one, you are preparing by studying, meaning read. Number two, you are preparing by developing your skill, meaning get trained. Number three, you are preparing by listening, meaning listen. Just listen. Listen, listen, listen. Be a good listener. They will tell you in every class, the students that do better are good listeners. Not talking while the teacher is talking. You are talking while the teacher is talking. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. Don't listen to counteract. Listen to understand. Be a good listener. A good listener. Now, Luke 2 verse 46, the Bible says, after 3 days, they found him, meaning Jesus, in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers. Jesus was 12 years old, sitting among the teachers. He was not spending time with those of his age. 12 years old, sitting among elderly people. When we are looking for you, where do we find you? Are you constantly among teachers? Maybe that's why you're not learning. Are you constantly among teachers, or you are constantly among your peers, those of your the same rank as you? Some are worse. You are even with those lower than you, lower than you, lower than you. Jesus was found among the teachers, listening to them. Listening to them. You will always find me with my earphones on, listening to my teachers. I'm constantly among my teachers. I have turned my phone into a university. All my teachers are in my phone because I don't have access to them. I have access to them through their materials, their books, their videos, their audios. Among my teachers, when I leave this teacher, I move to this teacher. I move from this teacher, I go to this teacher. Listening to them. Listening to them. This is how you are preparing yourself. Are you doing these things I'm talking about? If you are doing these things I'm talking about, my brother, therefore I will assure you, don't worry. Your day is coming. Your day is coming. If you are doing the things that Pastor is talking about here, don't think nobody is watching. There's a God in heaven who is watching your preparation. He is looking the things you are doing. He is observing you. And when the time is right, he will shoot you to the stars. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number four, prepare by asking questions. Asking questions. Luke 2 verse 46. After 3 days, they found Jesus in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Asking them questions. What am I talking about here? Mentoring. Mentoring. You see, when you are only listening, and the other person is talking, you are just receiving information. But when you are being mentored, you are given an opportunity to ask questions. That's why, apart from the mentors and the teachers that I have on my phone, I must also have physical teachers so I can ask them questions. If you don't have that, you might keep doing a wrong thing, thinking you are doing the right thing. Asking them questions. This week that has just passed, how many questions have you asked? I'm not saying this. This month, the month of October we are coming from, do you remember asking any questions to anyone apart from Dijo Kokai? Your greatest, your most favorite question. Where is the food? Have you asked any other question apart from that question? You will be surprised that this whole year, if I can count the questions you've asked, they're not even 12. I mean, since January, you will be surprised that you haven't asked any questions. No wonder there are no answers. The Bible says, ask, it shall be given. So if you, you shall receive. So if you are not asking, you are not receiving answers because you are not asking questions. You are not asking questions. You are not asking questions. Bishop Oedipo started a church and the church was not growing and God was not saying anything to him. He entered a 3 days of fasting and the fasting theme was, why is this church not growing? Why is this church not growing? By the end of the 3 days of prayer and fasting, God gave him the answer. Today he has one of the biggest churches in the world. Why is this church not growing? Why am I still not married? Why am I still unemployed? Why is my ministry not growing? Why am I not teaching better? Why is nobody following me? Why don't I have disciples? Why don't I have anyone to bring to church on Sunday morning? These are questions. These are real questions. Why am I still broke? We are not asking these questions. Therefore, we don't have the answers. Therefore, the struggle has continued. Why do I keep losing friends? Why do I keep losing beloveds? Why do I keep spreading CVs and nobody calls me back? These are questions. You should ask questions. Praise the Lord. Amen. Questions will prepare you. Patience will prepare you. You see, when your pastor is preaching, after the service, depending on your relationship with him, you go to him, "Pastor, during the preaching you did this. Why? Why were you asking people to stand up? Why did you ask people to pray at that particular time? Pastor, why are you teaching in series? Why?" You are asking questions to prepare yourself so that tomorrow, when it is your time, you have the answers already. But nothing is more frustrating than you are now on the job, now you are asking the questions. You've now been appointed pastor, and then you say, now that I'm pastor, what should I do? Now that I'm married, now that I'm a wife, is now you are calling your mother to ask your mother, mommy, I'm so sorry we never had this conversation. Now that I'm a wife, what should I... Are you serious? You are asking the questions on job? On the job? Now, I do know that there's something called OJT, on-job training. Meaning you are being trained while you are doing the job. And you should be doing some job and being trained in doing the job better. But this type that you can't even do the job at all is a problem. It's a problem. Yeah. All that I'm doing this morning, I'm showing you why there are defeats, why there are delays, and why there are denials. One major reason, the preparation is not good. And I'm showing you now how to prepare yourself. Look, I'm trusting God that these are practical things you can use tomorrow morning. You can even use after the service. You can start using it right now. Do you have questions? Do you have a place where you are writing questions? I was praying for somebody and they manifested, but I didn't know what to do. What to do when people manifest? It's a question that might be in your mind. What to do when I'm teaching people and they're not responding to my preaching? Those are questions that are blocking you, that are blocking your life. What should I do? I keep having a dream and I see myself, this is happening. What is the meaning of this dream? These are questions. And you can continue living in the dark, or you can find a person and ask the question and get an answer. Why will you live in the dark? Number five, prepare by assisting someone else. Prepare by helping someone else. We here, we're talking about sowing a seed. Sowing a seed. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke 16 verse 12, the Bible says, and if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? So you prepare for your own by helping another person. You prepare for your own house by helping another person build his house. You prepare for your own ministry by helping another person in his ministry. The Bible says, if you are not faithful with another person and other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? So every time you are faithful with what belongs to another person, you are preparing for your own. You are preparing for your own. So when you are unfaithful with what belongs to another person, you are kicking yourself in the butt. There's no seed you are sowing, so tomorrow there will be nothing to reap. There'll be nothing to reap. A lot of us are quick to just want to do your own thing. But listen, your own thing is coming. But on the meantime, get involved in what belongs to another person. I can't hear anybody this morning, I'm telling you. You are all just very quiet now. You're just looking at me. Just looking at me. Eh? Get involved with another man's things. Your own will come. Your own will come. So by helping another person, you are preparing for yourself. And in that process, you will learn so many things. You will see his mistake. You will see her mistake. And you will know that when it is your turn, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. But if you are not helping somebody else, you will never learn their mistakes. And you will do what? Repeat the same mistakes. Repeat the same mistakes. Are you still here? Number six. Prepare by building relationships. Prepare by building relationships. Here we're talking about you developing your skill of relating with others. Relating with others. Luke 16 verse 9. Here is the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. This was Jesus speaking, telling his disciples, when you have an opportunity, use what you have to make friends. Because tomorrow what you have might be gone, but if when you had it, you made friends, when it is gone, your friends will help you. Relationships, by far, the greatest way to prepare is to build relationships around you. Build good relationships around you. Don't be the type that break away and burn the bridges. Tomorrow, you will be stuck and you will need this person. But there you are, you've already insulted them. You've insulted their mother. You've told them that you will never need them in your life. You see, that was poor preparation. Because now you've gone in circle, you are back here. Build rewarding relationships every day. Try to make friends with people because you never know when you will need them. And when you are in a certain place that now you need the people, then you've already broken the relationships, then it doesn't work. Even a beloved that it didn't work, don't insult her, fight her, leave it. Maybe tomorrow she will help you find the right beloved. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Yeah. Preparation involves the building of relationships. Building of relationships. Nothing is worse than you being at the top there and you are all alone. You are all alone at the top there. Yeah, you've made your way to the top. Yet you've become this great CEO, but you are all alone at the top there. Nobody to share your time with. Nobody even to share your success with. Nobody to enjoy yourself with. Nobody can even correct you. Nobody who can speak into your life and say to you, no, you are going wrong here. You are all alone there. No wonder you don't last up there. Relationships. Build strong relationships with your pastor, with your shepherd, with your members. It's a way to prepare. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lastly, prepare by building yourself spiritually. Building yourselves spiritually. Praise the Lord. Luke 1 verse 80. Here we're talking about your prayer. Your prayer. Praying. Being a praying person. Being a prayerful person. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. The day of manifestation is the day people start knowing you. But up until that day, you must be preparing yourself. So John the Baptist was in the wilderness, becoming strong in spirit. And the Bible teaches us that as we pray in the Holy Ghost, we are building ourselves up in our most holy faith. Those of us that only pray at prayer meetings, if the prayer is not going on in the church, you don't pray. You are not preparing well, you know. You are not preparing well. Like, apart from the prayer at church, you don't pray. When you fall asleep at 6 p.m., it's until morning, the whole night. Prayer is a strong preparation. Strong preparation. Because there are many adversities that are waiting for you, and your prayers are readying you to fight those battles. As I close this morning, five things you must prepare for. Number one, you must prepare for war. Prepare for war. Listen to me, my brother. No matter how you try, there will be bad days. There will be difficult days. There will be problems. You better prepare for war. Prepare to fight. Paul is already telling you, I fought the good fight. And Paul said, imitate me. If you're going to imitate, you're going to have to fight some fights. Prepare for war. So in the book of Ephesians, it says to you, pull on the full armor. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, you know. All of that, the shoes of the proclamation of the gospel, is preparing you for battle. You have to prepare to fight. This is one area believers don't prepare. And when the fight comes to their camp, they are not ready for it. They just give up. Can I add something else? Don't only prepare for war. Prepare for a long war. A long war. Many wars, let me rather say, very few wars last for just a few days. Real wars last for years. The Ukraine war is being on for 3 years now. And we are still counting. The civil war in Liberia, I think it lasted for 11 years. I can't remember very well, but it was many years. Some wars will not just end after 3 days, 4 days. They will be there for... Your war against poverty might take years to defeat. Do you see what I'm saying? Your war against pornography. There are certain wars that once you start it, you must know that the thing doesn't want to let you go yet. I'm talking to myself in the church here. Prepare for a long war. Many of you are prepared to fight, but you are only prepared to fight for a week. So after you fight for a week, you are tired. You are tired. You are giving up already. No. Prepare for what? A long war. A long war. I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to fight it. I'll fight it every day. I will fight this thing every day until I will defeat it. 2 Chronicles 17 verse 18. And next to him was Jehozabad. And with him, 180,000 prepared for war. Prepared for war. 180,000 men that were prepared for war. Are you prepared for war? Proverbs 21 verse 31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Deliverance is of the Lord, but the horse must be prepared for battle. You cannot say, I'm going to pray. Yes, you're going to pray, but you must also prepare the horse. You cannot say, I'm going to fast. Yes, you must pray, but you must also read your books. Prepare for war. Prepare for war. Prepare. Prepare. Number two, you must prepare for hard times. Hard times. Hard times. Proverbs 30 verse 25. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. So ants can foresee that winter is coming, and winter is a hard time. So during summer, the ants prepare their food because they know hard times are going to come. Are you preparing for hard times? You should prepare for hard times. I'm not saying that you must be waiting for hard times. No, but have a way to prepare yourself. Have a way to prepare yourself. I mean, what if this happened? What am I going to do? If this happened, what am I going to do? If things go like this, I was saying earlier, what if this person passes away? What am I going to do? Prepare for hard times. And prepare your family for hard times. Many people, as soon as they clear from this world, their family enter an endless crisis. Endless crisis. Because there was no preparation. And you are also now, you keep blaming your parents for leaving you with these problems. But what are you doing? Are you preparing so that you don't leave the same to your children? Are we here? Number three, you must prepare to build the church. It's a preparation you must get into. You will build the church better if you prepare. You will build the church better if you prepare to build the church. Prepare to build the church. 1 Chronicles 22 verse 5. Now David said, Solomon my son is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death. By the time Solomon came to build, the gold was there, the trees were, everything was around. Preparation. And that is what we've been doing in this ministry, building one church in many locations, locally and globally. Do you know we can reach a stage where one of you can build a church? That one of you decided, I'm going to build the church over there. It cannot just, you know, as we grow, as God increases us, some of you, God is going to bless you. Amen. You will send me a text message and say, Pastor, there is a new area here. I was there to do some work and I looked around. There were no churches there. Pastor, before I left the place, I bought a plot of land and I already contacted the contractors to start building a church there. I will send you the pictures once it's done. Wow. Prepare, prepare. Don't just prepare to build your house. Prepare to build the church of God. Now, in your lifetime, you must build a church somewhere. In your lifetime. In your lifetime. That you will not leave this world the way you found it. You will leave a church building in an area. You will leave a church building somewhere. A lot of us, you have a house there, you have a house there, you have a house there. You haven't left a church anywhere. You haven't left a church anywhere. And those houses, if God doesn't give you grace that your children are wise, they'll sell everything. And at the end of the day, you've left what on earth? Nothing. Catch wisdom today. Get involved in a church project. Prepare for it. The Bible says, David said, I will now make preparations for the house. I will make preparations. I'll make preparations. We are busy buying land at the moment. Those of you, you know where we are busy buying it. Why don't you get involved? Amen. Number four, you must prepare for the gospel. Prepare for the gospel. Oh, my Jesus. Prepare for the gospel. Prepare for the gospel. Ephesians 6 verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation of the gospel. Prepare yourself to preach the gospel. Do you feel a calling to be a pastor? Prepare to be a pastor. Do you have a calling to be an apostle? Prepare for the apostolic ministry. Oh, start visiting. Start seeing how apostles are doing it. Do you have a calling to be a prophet? Watch prophets. Prepare to be a prophet. Prepare for the preaching of the gospel. Learn to preach to one person. Learn to preach to two people. Prepare yourself. Prepare by reading your Bible. How will you preach the gospel well if you don't know the Bible? Read your Bible. Know your Bible. Spend hours before God in prayer. Man, I see people, they say, God is going to use me. God doesn't know them at all. The whole day, they are going helter-skelter, helter-skelter, helter-skelter. I mean, they kill the whole time roaming around. No time to be with God. No time to talk to God. No time to prepare. And no wonder your ministry is ineffective. It's ineffective. How many hours are you spending with him? Lastly, you must prepare to meet your God. Oh yes. Amos 4 verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel. Because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Prepare to meet your God. Don't appear before God unprepared, my brother. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9 verse 27, just as all people are destined to die once, after that, to face judgment. We'll all die. And after we die, it doesn't end there. We'll move to another realm. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Because you're going to stand before your God one day. You're going to stand before Jesus one day. Are you preparing for that day? Are you preparing to answer the questions? Are you preparing your report to talk to him and say, Jesus, you sent me on earth. You allow me to live. Many children died in the womb. Many were aborted. I didn't got aborted. I didn't die. I lived until I was this number of years. And this is what I was able to do for you. Prepare to meet your God. Are you aware you're going to meet God someday? If I was to tell you now that next year, March, you're going to be meeting Bill Gates. You will start preparing yourself. You will start preparing, what am I going to talk about? What are we going to discuss? You will start to know what type of person is Bill Gates. Does he like talking? You will start preparing for that meeting. The Bible is saying here, prepare to meet your God. What that tells me is that you're going to meet God. People keep saying, does God even exist? I don't know if God exists. Look, prepare yourself for. You're going to meet him. And when you meet him, you will not say, does he exist? You will see him like this. Praise the Lord. So preparation, your greatest asset to defeating delays, defeats, and denials. Show me a person who is prepared. Show me a person who is well prepared. That person will break every defeat. That person will destroy every delay. That person will subdue every denial. Why are these three enemies prevailing in our lives? Number one, poor vision. Number two, poor preparation. That is what we are learning from the Anakazo man this morning. And my prayer for you, I don't know where you are at. I sense that some people have allowed discouragement to take them out of the school of preparation. Few things that didn't happen the way you expected, now you have given up. That is because you didn't know that in life there's a long war. And we fight. We fight every day. We fight different things every day. We don't give up. We fight. And we keep fighting. We pray. We read. We listen. We ask questions. And then we fight some more. In that process, you are breaking grounds. Breaking grounds. Breaking grounds. And the day is going to come when you least expect, there'll be a ring, there'll be a knock, there'll be a conversation, and your name will come up. And the people talking about you will not even know why they're talking about you. But God has brought your name there because he's saying, my child has done everything that needed to be done. My child is ready. And once you are ready, you remember the story of Joseph? In prison for 12 years, thought he was forgotten. Thought nobody will ever. I'm sure he was even thinking, I might die here. But Joseph kept preparing himself, sharpening his gift of interpreting dreams. Even in prison, Joseph continued interpreting dreams for people. Even in prison. And a day came. His day came. And he was called out of that prison. He stood before Pharaoh. And when Joseph stood before Pharaoh, this was his moment. This was the test of preparation. Pharaoh said, I'm going to share my dream and you should interpret it. You don't have two chances. You only have this chance. You'll miss it back in prison. And that one will be for life. Because now it's Pharaoh who sent you back there. But because Joseph had prepared himself, he didn't allow the rejection to affect him. He didn't allow the false accusation of the wife of Potiphar to affect him. He didn't allow the hatred of his brothers to affect him. He didn't allow the time in prison to turn him into a bitter person. He kept working on his preparation. Right from prison, he went from prison to the palace. And from a prisoner to a prime minister. Ah! In one day. How? Preparation. Preparation. May this encourage somebody out there. That don't think just because you are in prison means you are forgotten. Don't think just because you are in the pit means you are... Maybe the area where you are in a sort of a pit. You are in a sort of a prison. But that doesn't mean you should not drop the ball and just start relaxing. Continue preparing yourself. Continue reading with the mind that I'm going to meet Pharaoh one day. I don't know who will come for me someday. But when they come, I want to be ready. When I pray that prayer, they themselves will feel, no, this person is prepared. When I open the scripture, they themselves will feel, no, this person has prepared themselves. They have paid the price. We should give them an opportunity. Don't allow discouragement, my brother. My sister, I'm talking to you. It's not over. Until God says it's over. Keep preparing yourself. People are saying you are too old. Keep preparing yourself. People are saying your time has passed. Keep preparing yourself. Keep preparing yourself. Keep working on yourself. Get better at what you do every day. Become the best. I think it's Martin Luther King who said, if you are sweeping streets, be the best street sweeper that exists. The best. What has kept us in the dungeons is mediocrity and poor preparation. Because Joseph left the dungeon to the palace. And that is where you're going. In the name of Jesus. May this word break every distraction, every discouragement, whatever Satan has been busy with your soul and your spirit, working on you to turn you around, to confuse you. I pray that the word that has come this morning will destroy those things, that you are coming out of whatever sleep you were finding yourself into. Hallelujah. Come on, can you stand in your feet this morning? Can we pray for a few seconds? Can you ask God to revive your fire, to rekindle your light this morning? Whatever has become an obstacle, mantelema suka pele daraba, rabade kase pele katore falemanda, lande brezuka tere paradama. Father, get me back into preparation. Get me back in the preparation. In the name of Jesus. Father, may I not give up now. May I continue working. May I continue developing myself like Joseph in the prison. Like Joseph in the prison. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. He kept preparing. He kept learning to interpret dreams. And the day came. He was not out there. He was not out there. And nobody could stop him. I came to prophesy to you. When your day comes, nobody will be able to stop you. Keep working on yourself. Keep developing your skill. Brother, keep asking questions. Keep listening to messages. Keep spending hours in prayer. Rabba Shata Kapaya. Keep reading books. Oh Jesus, keep going for visitation. Keep doing evangelism. Develop yourself. There is a God who watches. There is a God who is watching you. There is a God who is checking your development. There is a God who is checking your preparation. Oh yes, Lord. Let a fresh fire fall on you right now. Let a fresh fire fall on you right now. Those of you that had given up, may the fire of God rekindle your flame. Rekindle your flame. Rekindle your flame. Get back on track. Get back in the fall. Get back in the fight. Oh yes, Jesus. Sabale gade me kodaba. Lare bazi gade me kodaba gadaba. Lagaze me gede badaba. In Jesus' precious name we have given thanks. Father, we thank you for your word today. Give us grace to apply. Give us grace to apply. Give us grace to apply, Lord. Grace to apply. Grace to apply. Some of these things, we already know them, but we have not been applying them. Father, give us grace to apply. Deliver us from deceptions of thinking, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. But yet, we are not doing anything. Father, give us grace to apply. To apply. To change. To become better by your power. Talama sopele katere palamandaraba. Laga de bezibre katoro polamandaraba. Alime kalama zupre katore fele mandere mandereba. Yes, Lord. Somebody is receiving strength this morning. Strength from the Lord. Strength from the Lord. You will not give up now. You will not give up. You will not give up. You will not throw in the towel. You will still stand. Because this war is a long war, but you shall win this war. By the grace of God. Keep preparing yourself. Keep sharpening your weapons. Keep sharpening your skills. Keep developing yourself. Today nobody knows you. Nobody sees you. There is no screen where people are watching you. But keep working on yourself. Keep working on yourself. Your time is coming. God is going to open that door. God is going to showcase you to the world. But God cannot showcase a failure. God cannot showcase an uncooked, untrained, unprepared person. Keep working on yourself. That's why God has been hiding you. God is not forgetting you. He's hiding you out of love. Because he doesn't want to present to the world something that is unprepared, unready. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Help us. Help us. Let the fire. Let the fire to study, the fire to read, the fire to pray, the fire to listen. Let it return, Lord. As we close the year, we will not close the year as defeated people. We are closing the year as re-energized, equipped, on fire people, Lord. We are not going down, we are going higher. We are going deeper and we are doing more for God. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost, I tell you. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost, I tell you. I plead the blood over your dreams. I plead the blood over your dreams that Satan has buried. I plead the blood of Jesus over those dreams that they are coming to life. They are coming to life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We honor you today. We praise you today. Oh, we exalt you today. We magnify your holy name, Lord. Thank you for giving us the victory. Giving us victory and wisdom. to fight the fight and battles of life. Oh yes, Lord. If you are watching this morning and you are not born again, we've just learned, prepare to meet your God. If you were to leave this world today, my brother, are you ready to meet your God? How prepared are you? How prepared are you? Prepare to meet your God. This is not a matter of if. It is rather a matter of when. You should be ready. You should be ready. Now Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you can't prepare to meet God without Jesus. It's not possible. It's not possible. The thief on the cross asked Jesus to remember him. This morning, I want to pray for somebody who says, Pastor, I want to prepare to meet God. I want to be ready at any time. The first parable we read, the second parable rather, of the 10 virgins, the other 5 that were foolish were not ready. By the time they came to knock, the bridegroom says, I don't know you. Now, at the count of 3, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to prepare to meet God. I want Jesus to forgive my sins. Wash me with his blood. If that is you, at the count of 3, you can raise your right hand. I'll pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Now, maybe you are watching today. You've been watching, actually. But maybe today is your day. Today is your day. Don't watch this thing as you are watching a movie. This is, we are interacting with destiny. Maybe today is your day. The day you recommit. The day you refire. The day you drop something and receive. The day something fall off and you receive something from God. Why are you deceiving yourself? We keep pretending we are in church. Meanwhile, there's no fire. There's no fire. The fire can return this morning. Pastor, I want you to commit my life to Jesus. At the count of 3, shamelessly raise your hand. I might not see your hand, but God sees it. And we're going to pray together. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. I want you to commit. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Thank you for speaking to me about preparation. I want to be ready in life and for eternity. Therefore, this morning, I surrender my life to you. I believe Jesus died for me. On the third day, he rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.